The opening weekend of the NCAA basketball tournament was good for underdogs, with number 2-ranked North Carolina falling to 7th-seeded Penn State and number 3-ranked Florida losing to Temple, ranked 11th. Commentator John Feinstein joins me now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob.
Do you find any of these upsets particularly stunning?
Well, in the first round, when Hampton beats Iowa State, only the fourth time in history a 15th seed has beaten a second seed, and when Hampton is a school that only started playing at this level of Division I basketball 6 years ago, that's a stunning upset. But the two upsets that you just cited yesterday, Penn State beating North Carolina, Temple beating Florida, those aren't stunning upsets. Those are big teams from big conferences beating other big teams from big conferences. And for example, when Gonzaga gets back to the round of 16 for a third straight year, that's not an upset. That simply indicates that the committee, the basketball committee, A, still hasn't figured out that Gonzaga is pretty good, and B, needs to give more respect to experienced teams from the mid-major conferences. If you look at the first round upsets other than Hampton, the pattern is that they are pulled by teams with lots of seniors and who have been in the NCAA tournament before.
All four number one seeds are alive. Can't say that for the twos and threes.
No, the number one seeds all advanced without any problem. Duke in the East, Illinois in the Midwest. Stanford did struggle against St. Joseph's, another team that was underseeded by the committee in a very good game on Saturday night. And Michigan State, the fourth number one, won easily. But as we mentioned, there were upsets, many upsets among the number twos and the number threes. If you're looking at brackets, as people do, the East and the Midwest pretty much followed form. In fact, in the Midwest, all four of the top seeds advanced. The South is where the big upsets were. Nobody other than the seventh seed, Penn State, advanced along with Michigan State. And then you had Temple and Gonzaga. And the West also had a couple of upsets. But most of the power teams are now alive. Cinderella had her moments on Thursday and Friday. And now you get into the phase of the tournament dominated by what I call the professional college teams.
Penn State beat North Carolina. That's only supposed to happen in football, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right about that. And Penn State has been a real non-basketball school for many, many years. They joined the Big Ten 9 years ago. They were at the bottom of the league for many years. They would not even be in the tournament had they not upset Michigan State in the Big Ten conference tournament 10 days ago. But North Carolina struggled down the stretch. They were at one point, they had won 18 straight games, but then they won only 5 of their last 10 games. They really kind of lost it coming down the stretch for some reason.
Maryland will play Georgetown for only the second time in 20 years, though they're really neighbors here in the Washington area, and the game is in California.
Yeah, they've got to fly 3,000 miles to play against one another. Although, again, in this great era of the student athlete, as the NCAA moderators at the press conference repeat about 1,000 times, both Maryland and Georgetown will remain on the West Coast. They played last week in Boise, Idaho. They'll go straight to Anaheim, California. Now they will play each other 3,000 miles away in the round of 16.
The comments of John Feinstein, author of The Last Amateurs, Playing for Glory and Honor in Division I College Basketball.